Okay. When Samach, huh?
On the Mishnah.
I think we finished the Mishnah, but we're starting the Mishnah again.
Oh, yeah?
The Gemara. I know. We have to remember the Mishnah. Okay, it says like this. Yisei Meshi, we'll learn it quickly because we learned it last week. Yisei Meshi, Siya Ima Yeacha Midaita. If an orphan girl was married off by her mother or brother with her consent, meaning they said exactly how much the dowry is going to be, you know, whatever the marriage agreement was. The kasul of b'meir chamishim zuz, and they assigned for the dowry $100 or $50. Yechele himi shetag doleitze miyadon. She can come later when she gets an adult, because until now she was a kid, under bas mitzvah. When she got, even though she agreed to it, when she becomes an adult, she can take out from the parents masheroi linosin what's fit to get. I mean, like 10% of the father's estate. That's what the Gemara said before, right? A girl can get 10% of the father's estate as dowry. So even though she agreed to 150 or whatever it is, but nevertheless, because she was a kid, she doesn't understand what's going on. She grows up, she can demand more dowry. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, in Misiyah Basri Sheina, if the father married off, the father was still alive when the first daughter got married, then Yenosin L'Shniya Kedar Shenosin L'Sheina. You give the second daughter, in other words, the father married off a daughter, and then the father died. Comes the second daughter to get married, so the thing is, you give the second daughter what the first daughter got. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Chachamim, so no, it can't be. Just because the first daughter got $1,000, the second daughter should get, no. Why? What are you talking about? Sometimes the guy, when he married off the first daughter, was rich. Then he became poor. Or he was poor and then became rich. How can you say, because the first daughter got X amount, the second daughter should get the same? Maybe then the father was richer, and now there's no money. El shamanas and achasim, you praise the estate, and you give her nesila, and you give her accordingly. Okay? And that later on, the Gemara is going to explain what that means exactly. Okay? Basically, a tenth of the estate. That's what the Gemara is going to explain later. Okay. Amr Shmuel said, okay, that's the Mishnah. This is where we're up to now in the Gemara.
Yeah.
Amr Shmuel said, the Parnasa to know how much a girl gets dowry, Shamin Ba'av. What? So.
I'm
not
on airplane.
Samachet? No. What? Samachet. Amid Aleph.
Gemara,
a little bit past midway. Shmuel says like this. When it comes to dowry, okay, we give a girl what we assume the father would have wanted given her. That's what Shmuel says. So the Gemara says, Meitzvei, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Braise, Habonis Nizainum, Afanus, it's Minichzi Abim. The girls are sustained. Look again. When the father dies, the girls that are not married get sustenance from the father's estate. They get fed and clothed. Plus, if they get married, they get a dowry. Okay? So the Braise says, the girls, Nizainus, Afanus, Minichzi Abim. They get supported and they get a dowry from the father's estate. What does that mean? Okay, so what does that mean? Ein emet, we don't say, ilo avicha kaim kach v'kach hayonesin, that means, the Braise said, we don't say, if your father was alive, this isn't this what you would get? That's not what we do. Al shamin asan achasim, we appraise the estate, v'nesim lo, and give it to her. Okay, now, my love, what are we probably talking about? Parnassus Habal, the dowry. Yeah? Now Shmuel says, we don't assess the father's estate, we assess how the father would want to give his daughter. So this contradicts Shmuel. Shmuel says, when it comes to dowry, you evaluate what the father would give his daughter. Here, the Braise says, no. We do Parnassus, and that's it. So the Gemara says, no. It doesn't mean dowry. What does it mean? Parnasa atzma, her own parnasa, meaning her sustenance, not her dowry. In other words, Shmuel said, dowry you evaluate what the father would give the daughter. This that it says you evaluate, assess the estate, not what the father would give his daughter. That speaks about her sustenance. How much sustenance does she get based on how much father, the money the estate has? So the Gemara said, but he nizunism and finances ktani. The Braisa says both things, support and dowry. How can you differentiate between the two? My love, acha panosis abal, vachas panosis atzma. It probably means one dowry and one what she gets for sustenance. How can you differentiate? So the Gemara says, like, edi v'edi panosis atzma. Both are speaking about her personal provisions. What does it mean? V'loi kashya. Ha b'achilu shtia, meaning like this. One is eating and drinking, and one is clothing. Okay? Meaning like this. Clothing and bedding, the girl gets based on the estate. Food and drink is based on what we assume the father would give her. In other words, two issues over here. Shmuel, the Mishnah seems to imply we assess the estate of the father, and that's what we give her. And that's what we give her. Shmuel comes along and says, no, we don't assess the estate. What we do is we say how much the father would want to give her. So the Gemara says, first there was an answer. Shmuel's talking about dowry, and the other one is speaking about sustenance. I'm sorry. Shmuel's speaking not about dowry. Shmuel's speaking about sustenance, and the Braisa is talking about dowry. But the Gemara says, but the Braisa is talking about both. So the Gemara says, no. The Braisa is talking not about dowry. Dowry, you do what Shmuel said, how much the father would want to give her. This, then, it says sustenance. It speaks about eating and drinking and clothing. Sometimes you give her based on what the father would want to give her. Sometimes you give it based on the assessment of the estate. But Shmuel's talking about dowry. It's a whole different din. Okay, now it says like this. Tanan, the Gemara is going to explain our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, so Rabbi Yehuda said like this. Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah, we just learned before, that if the father married off a daughter, and then he died, the second daughter gets the same dowry that the first daughter got. Okay? The father gave the first daughter $10,000. Now he died. The second daughter is getting married. The kids can't say, no, we can only give you $1,000. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if the first girl, the first daughter that the father married off in his lifetime got $10,000 dowry, so then the second daughter gets the same thing. Chachamim say, no, listen, sometimes the guy has money, then he gets broke. Sometimes he's broken, then he gets rich. Why should, it goes both ways. Because the father had money, you know, and he gave the first daughter $10,000, and then he goes broke, even if the father was alive, he wouldn't give the second one $10,000. Why are we giving her the same thing? We should evaluate the estate. So the Buddha says, you don't evaluate the estate. Bottom line is, the first girl got $10,000 for dowry. The second girl gets $10,000 for dowry. So Chum say, no, you can't do that. How do you know there's $10,000 now to give her? Maybe there's not even $10,000 to give.
But
therefore you have to assess the estate. Right? That's what the Chachamim say. You have to assess the estate. You know, if the estate says, yes, you can get the same amount, you might be able to give even more. Because maybe the guy was poorer, and now after he died, he became richer. And maybe you can give her more.
That has to be the same amount.
No, Rabbi Yehuda says that. But the Chum say, why should it be the same amount? It could be a difference of the money. So the Gemara says like this. Sinan, it says in our Mishnah. Chachamim mei mechachamim say. Sometimes the guy was poor and became rich. Or sometimes he was rich and became poor. Therefore, the only way to do it is by assessing the estate, knowing how much money the father is able to give. Okay? Now the Gemara says, what does it mean, poor and rich? He says like this. Listen to this, it's remarkable. He says, Ine ma'ani ani bin chasim. If you're saying poor means poor, and rich means rich, right? That means Rabbi Yehuda says, even if the guy's poor now, the estate, you still give her the amount of money from the first daughter got. Right? What does Rabbi Yehuda say? If the first girl got $10,000, regardless, she gets $10,000. Yeah? So Gemara said, 1 minute. If the guy is broke, where are you going to get the $10,000 from?
Exactly.
So obviously, we can't say rich and poor means in money. He says, if you're saying ani bin nechasim, poor means poor in possessions, and asher min nechasim, yeah? That means the first opinion, Tanikam, which is Rabbi Yehuda, says, under all circumstances, if the first girl got 10,000, the second girl gets 10,000 for dowry, right? He says, Afilo Ashivani, can be Kari Avinali, you want to give the second daughter the same amount the first daughter got? He said, let's say the estate doesn't have it. If the guy went broke, yeah, how can Rabbi Yehuda say, you give the second daughter the same $10,000 the first daughter got? Where are you going to get the money from? And we must say, it doesn't mean money rich or poor. It means brains rich or poor. Ela ani bedas, meaning he's stingy, or asha bedas, means he's generous. You can have billions of dollars. If you're stingy, you're poor. You can be broke, but you're generous, then you're rich. The Gemara in the Darim says, "Ain ani ele v'das, ain ani an usher v'das." Wealth and poverty are really all in the mind. You can be happy with what you pick your office, right? You're happy with your lot, content. You're a rich man. You got billions of dollars, huh?
I've been saying this.
You've been saying this. I tell you, the Gemara said before you were born.
I know.
Do you believe it?
I believe it.
Elalav, so we must say, ani means ani bedas stingy. Asher asher bedas, right? That means, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says he give the girl, if possible. If there's money, the first girl got 10,000, then the second girl gets 10,000. What does the Chachamim hold? Chachamim say like this, Shamin es nechasim ama lo yaznina basir umdina. So then that means you don't give an assessment of the father's character. Because what does the Gemara say? Assess the property. The Mishnah, according to the Chachamim, you assess, what does the Mishnah say according to the Chachamim? You assess the property and give her accordingly. According to the way Shmuel just learned, it should mean you assess the father's generosity or the father's stinginess. Right? That's what you should evaluate. But that's not what the Mishnah says.
Right.
The Mishnah says you evaluate the property. So Tiyufta the Shmuel, so it's a question on Shmuel, because Shmuel says you assess, you assess the father's mentality, stingy or generous. But then the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says you assess the properties. So Gemara answers, who could amek Rav Yehuda? Okay? He also could have Yehuda that says, emisi basri shene, Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah, right? If the father married off the daughter, the first daughter, and gave her 10,000, yinasin lishniya kadar shenasin lishniya, she give her the same thing. Okay? Meaning like this. Until now the Chomim said, sometimes, according to Shmuel, the way the Gemara was explaining it, the Chum say sometimes a guy was rich and became poor, sometimes he was poor and became rich. That means it's a change of mentality. Shmuel says, it could be the father was generous, and then he became stingy. Or he was stingy, and then he became generous. Right? So on that the Gemara asked, yeah, but it says clearly you assess the properties, not his brains, not his character. So Gemara says, Shmuel takos like Rabbi Yehuda. That the first girl got 10,000, the second girl gets 10,000. Obviously, if there's money, it's nothing to do with the father being generous or stingy. This that Shmuel says has nothing to do, right, with the father's stinginess or not stinginess. It means the estate, not the stinginess or cheapness. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that you always evaluate the estate. If there's $10,000 for the second daughter, even though the father became stingy, doesn't matter. So now the Gemara says like this, if that's the case, why doesn't he just say Halacha Rabbi Yehuda? Why is he saying a statement that we say it means that like Rabbi Yehuda? Shmuel should have said, there's an argument in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Shmuel should have said, Halacha is like the Rabbi Yehuda. Why is he saying a roundabout way? So he says like this, if Shmuel would have just said Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, I would think that's only his fear. If the father already married the daughter off, that means if the father married off the first daughter before he died, and he gave her X amount, so then the second daughter needs the same amount. What happened? Lo hisia. What happens if the father never married off any kids? So you don't know how the father would be for the first one.
Starts fresh.
So therefore, Kamashmon, he says, time of Rabbi Yehuda, daslin and basir umdena. Because we assess the father's disposition. It doesn't matter if he married off a kid or not.
So then what are we comparing it to?
Because what are we comparing it to? We're not comparing it to anything. Is the father a nice guy or is he not a nice guy? That's all it is.
It's more generous or not generous.
Yeah, is he a generous guy or not a generous guy?
Wasn't it worded that according to what the first daughter got, the second daughter gets?
That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Okay. So the question, why doesn't Shmuel just say like, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Because Shmuel says, I'll tell you why. Because if that's the literal meaning of Rabbi Yehuda's din, that the way the father married off the first kid, that's what you give the second kid, what would be if the father did marry off the first kid?
Right.
We wouldn't know what to do.
That's right.
So Shmuel is explaining Rabbi Yehuda, that even if there was no marrying off the first kid, so we have nothing to go by, to compare it with.
Right.
We compare it to the disposition of the father. If the father is a nice guy, we assume he's going to give that. He would give $10,000. She gets $10,000, even though he didn't marry off any kids yet.
Isn't this the sole discretion of the parent, though?
No, Bez didn't. First of all, the father's dead.
I see.
The father died.
Uh-huh.
Now. The kids.
Are we talking about dowries right now?
Yeah. But the wife and the kids don't want to give her that much money.
Understand.
You understand? They inherit the money.
The boys.
The boys. Know, so the more they give to the sister, the less they keep.
Yeah, that's right.
This discussion if the father was alive.
Yeah, if the father was alive, the father does what he does.
That's right.
But but Rabbi Yehuda's expression was, if the father married off the first daughter and gave her 10,000, so that's what you have to give her 10,000. What happens, though, Shmuel says, if there was no first wedding? When the father was alive. So what do you go by? Like this in Yish, what do you go by?
Assets.
In Yeshiva? You go, no, not assets. How much the disposition of the father would be? Chachamim takas say, you don't go by disposition of the father. You look at the assets, and the girl gets a tenth of it. Period. That's it.
Reasonable.
Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, basically Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You don't divide the assets and take a tenth. What you do is, you evaluate what would the father give his daughter in this particular case. What does it depend on? You know, the closeness of the father. Some kids are closer to the parents, some kids are not closer to the parents, some parents are closer to the kids. So Beis Din has to decide how much money can you force the estate to give. That's what you're dealing with.
The estate is also part of the equation, though.
So obviously, even Rabbi Yehuda says, if the father married off the first kid for 10,000 and there's absolutely no money in the bank, you can't give the second kid 10,000. Where are you going to get it from?
Question.
What?
If the father had a good disposition generally, but actually hated this daughter.
Or the son-in-law.
He hated the daughter. We know he hated the daughter. And he probably would, the disposition would be, he wouldn't want to give her anything, even though he was generous.
No, he had dowry he has to give her. That's an obligation. The question is how much?
How much? So if he hated
so then they would give her a tenth of the estate.
That's according to evaluation.
Right.
Well,
this case is after the father died, but they didn't give everything to the sons yet.
No, there's an estate. Listen, no. Inheritance takes place after all the obligations of the estate are done. We learned before, all the way back in the Gemara, in Batuk Suba, right? If a father dies, and there's boys and girls, okay, girls don't inherit in Halacha, right? Okay, but the girls have to be supported until they get married. Or until one opinion, until they become 12 and a half, remember? Until they become beggars.
Yeah.
There's one opinion before the Gemara. Okay, but let's say the opinion is until they get married, which would be anyway 13 or 14 in those years. Yeah? But the question is, the kids don't inherit the estate yet, because the estate still has to pay the wife, the ksuba, sustain the wife, sustain the daughters, right? So the kids can't divide up the Yerusha yet.
So it's all factored in.
Everything has to be factored in before you could divide up the Yerusha. After the girls are all married, then you could divide the Yerusha, whatever is left.
But if the girls are young, I mean, is there some amount that goes to the brothers to sustain things, or?
But the brothers, in other words, the girls are sustained, and if there's not enough money, the boys go beg.
Well, I understand, but say that the estate has enough money to sustain the girls, but do they get any portion of the Yerusha?
Well, the boys are sustained also. No, they don't get the Yerusha yet.
Okay, they just get some living expenses.
Right.
And the sons are obligated for that.
Yeah.
And the wife too, right?
The wife gets, and the daughters get.
So let me ask you a question. In a practical way, if the girls felt they were not being supported properly by the brothers, could they go to a Beis Din and complain?
Not could they. They go to Beis Din.
They do go to Beis Din.
Remember, we learned before in the Gemara, all those cases, the girls came to Beis Din
yeah.
and said, they support me.
Right, I got you.
Those were all the cases before in the Gemara we learned. So you have all these cases. Of course, and Beis Din would enforce it. Beis Din, and the Beis Din, the Gemara says, is the father of orphans. The Beis Din is Avi Yaseimim. The Beis Din, the court, is the father of the orphans. Well, not only that, if there were orphan little kids, don't forget, years ago people died young, and there were little kids, and you know, the Beis Din was called an apotropos.
How could Beis Din?
Apotropos was
a conservator
that took care of the estate. And if the kids didn't get their money, he went to Beis Din.
How could the Beis Din enforce these things?
Those years, Beis Din had power.
They had power, but how would they enforce it through police?
They would go to your place and take the money. Yeah, they had police and had.
Or they would take things to sell.
Yeah,
no, Beis Din says Yardin Lenchazin. The Gemara says many places. Beis Din would go if you had to pay. See, let's say you beat somebody up, you have to pay him, right? Or you damage somebody's property, you have to pay. And he said, "I'm not paying." Beis Din went into your property. They were the legal authority. Beis Din went into your the courts today. No,
right?
The court goes into your. The IRS doesn't put
no
a lien on your property, huh?
There's no bankruptcy back then?
No. Bechlal, there's no bankruptcy in Torah law. The whole concept of the bankruptcy doesn't exist in Torah law. Doesn't exist.
That's when we get slavery.
Huh?
That's when the slavery.
Not only that, according to Torah, if I owe you money and I don't have money to pay, it's not the bankruptcy that wipes off the debt. Right now you have no money, okay. When you get money, you can have an obligation to pay.
People get away with murder these days. The bankruptcy law.
Of course.
That's right.
But today's based in, they have some power, don't they?
Not really, because it's not a legal system. In Israel, they would have powers a little bit. But therefore, when you go to Beis Din, well, in the Dentator we learned, you sign a binding arbitration paper, which means that you have, then it's held up in civil court.
You have to forgive the debt after 7 years?
You make a prosbul. What's called a prosbul, and then the debt doesn't become nullified. You give over your debts to Beis Din, and then Beis Din is collectible.
The legal loophole.
Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Amalei Rav la Rav Chista. Rav said to Rav Chista, Dashina Mishmach, shall we lecture in your name that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Must ask you, should we lecture in your name that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? So he says, Amalei, Rav Chista said to him, Yehidhava, may it be the will of Hashem, Kol kihani milyam ayus adishu mishmoy. All such excellent statements, you should say in my name. Meaning, of course, 100%. Halavai, you say all these good things in my name. So, okay? So, the pearls. So, Rav is saying, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Now, the Rav actually says such a thing. That Rav basically is saying like Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rav said to Rav Chista, you want us to preach publicly in your name that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, which means Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So, Gemara said, but Rav doesn't say that because it says like this. The Rabbi Omer, not Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi says, Basa nizeinus minoachim, a girl who's being supported by the brothers. Like we said, right? The father dies, the brothers, the estate. They tell us, Isa nechasim. Okay, now, it says like this. We were just explaining this concept, but, what else?
Sorry, a debt is or is not forgiven after 7 years?
Not nowadays, because they make a prosable. It's a legal loophole.
Now?
Yeah, now.
Now, if they don't do it?
Now we do principles, so therefore the debt remains.
Today?
Yeah.
No, they let it go out for
7 years. Not nowadays, you make a principle.
No.
Yeah?
Lots of creditors let their debts
go out for 7 years. Who
says? But if they choose to, they could.
We're talking about.
It's not reported on your credit after 7 years.
That's not about secular.
That's something else.
But back then the debt was relieved.
Yeah. Okay, now, we just got through saying like this. Father dies, there's an estate, there's boys, girls, everybody. So what's the din? The girls get supported from the estate, right? So now Rebbe says, a girl who's a girl who is supported from the estate, how much dowry does she get? So Rebbe says, a tenth of the estate. Okay? And Rav says, halacha karebi. The halacha is a karebi. L'chayra, that's not what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said, if the first girl got 10,000, the second girl gets 10,000. Now Rav says, the halacha is like Rabbi, who says that she gets a tenth of the estate. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda holds. So the Gemara answer like Kasha. Hode amdine, hode le amdine. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda's ruling is when we assess the father's disposition. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if the first girl got 10,000, the second girl gets 10,000, if you evaluate the father's disposition like that. But, Hodol Amdino, when we do not assess him, meaning we can never assess, because the father died before the first daughter got married, so we can't assess what the father gave the first daughter, then what do you do?
10%.
Then he gives the tenth of the estate as dowry. This that Rabbi Yehuda says, if the first daughter got 10,000, the second daughter got 10,000, that's when the father was alive by the first daughter. And the father gave it 10,000, so the second daughter gets 10,000. What happens if there's no assessment of the father? Because the father died before even the first girl got married. So what do you do? 10%. We don't know what the father gives. So we give a tenth of the estate. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask a very interesting question. So if a guy has 10 kids, 10 daughters, and boys, yeah? So the girls, each one gets a tenth. And what are the boys left with?
Nothing.
Well, for the tenth of the original estate?
Oh, one second. But the Gemara is going to ask a question. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Hochi nami mistabra." This is also logical. Why? The Amr Ravada, because Ravada Barava said, Maisa, there's a story about an orphan came before Rebbe, you know, to get the amount of dowry. The Nasan la Rebbe Echa Mishnei Masa Ben Chasim. Rebbe gave a twelfth of the estate. The Gemara tells a story. A girl once came to Rebbe, said, Rebbe, I need dowry, an orphan. And Rebbe gave her 12%. I'm not a 12%.
One twelfth.
So the question, but Rebbe just said a tenth, 10%, not a twelfth. So it says Kasha Adadi, so obviously contradiction Rebbe on Rebbe. So he says, no. It's very simple. When the father never gave the girl money, the older daughter money, so then Rebbe says he gave her 10%. This case that Rebbe gave her 12%, a twelfth, you're speaking, that's what the father gave the first daughter. And because the father gave the first daughter a 12th, the second daughter also gives a 12th. This, the Rebbe says, 10% is when there was no father in the picture of the first daughter. So what does the girl get? The girl gets 10%.
Of whatever the current estate is.
Right. Well, what the estate is worth now. Now it is, of course, Kim.
Right, right. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Listen, there could be, a father could die and there could be a lot of debts that the father incurred. Right, the people, debts get paid from the estate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you value the estate, you assess the estate after all those debts are paid. Of course.
What if there's a lot of cash?
What? They don't get cash. The Gemara said before dowry, they get from land, not from cash.
I don't know what I'm saying, but let's say the sons take all the money that was loaded with cash in the house. But do they have to pay back the father's debts or not have to pay back?
Yeah.
You know?
So they
could take it and say...
The debt is on money and even land. Even land that was sold.
Oh, nobody's going to know.
Okay, you don't have to say Ganovim, nor the Ganov is a Ganov. But if people know they're a Ganov, they have to pay back. Can't just steal things. I mean,
no.
There's a system in the world.
I know, okay, obviously, you know, if they know the din, so this is the way it works, that they have to pay off their father's debts before taking the money themselves.
Yeah, there's a lien on the estate. And definitely on the cash. You know, in the Ksuba it says, this bond of the Ksuba is from any debt, any money you own now, any money you land or will own, even the shirt off your back. Even the shirt off your back is bound to the Ksuba, which is even monetary, tangible items. Okay, now the Gemara is going to ask a very interesting question. Gufa, with this question we just said.
Oh, isn't there somewhere that says that the kids don't have to pay off certain debts of the father owed? Oh, that's from their own money.
Yeah, from their own money that are obligated to pay the debt of the father. Mm-hmm. But from the estate, you're talking about cash from the estate, belongs to the estate. Yeah. The kids don't have to pay their own money.
Is that the right thing to do? Is that Kibbutz?
There is Priyas Bachayv Mitzvah. It is a proper thing, but they're not Mo'bezdin, meaning Bezdin cannot enforce it. Bezdin can't come down to the son's personal property that he had from before and say, you have to pay your father's debt. That they can't do that. But money that's in the estate,
yeah,
that is obligated to the debt.
Well, it's proper if the kids could afford it to pay
it. It's proper to pay it, yeah. That's what it says in Allah.
Even if he owes a goy?
What's the difference?
I'm saying, okay.
Even if he owes a cow, what's the difference?
Okay.
It's
different
with
a goy
either. Huh?
You can't steal from a goy either.
No, yeah. I know. Yeah.
Contrary to public belief.
Okay, but if the kids can't afford it, they don't have to pay it, but... If they earn money a year,
they're not obligated to pay. If they want to pay, they can do whatever they want. You can't obligate them to pay.
Well, like stays on them for years. So they can't afford it now, but in 10 years they could afford it.
Then it's up to them. If they want to pay in 10 years, they could. They don't have to. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Kufu, we just got through saying. Amen, Rabbi says, Basin Nizainis Meno Achim, a girl that gets sustained from the brothers. How does it work with dowry? And they tell us, Isin Nechasim. You give her a tenth of the estate, yeah? Om the Leila Rebbe, so the students, whoever it was, said to Rebbe, 1 minute. Ledvarecha, according to your din, Mi Sheyeshli Esib Bonis, Ubain, the guy has 10 daughters and a son, Ein Leila Ben B'Mokim Bonis Kum. So then the son's left with nothing. Because each one gets a tenth of the estate for their dowry. And the kids get nothing. That's not right.
That's why the other rabbi divided it into 12?
No, the rabbi before gave it 12 because that's what the first daughter got. So the Gemara says, Amelam Rabbi said like this. No, Kachani Aimer. Okay, he says like this. Rishenin, they tell us, Issa Nechassin. The first daughter, okay, gets 10%. Shania, the second one gets 10% well, from what's left. Mm-hmm. That means she gets 10% of 90. If there's 100.
Right,
so the number 100.
The
first girl gets 10% is 10. Now there's 90 left. Second girl gets 10% of the 9. We're not done yet. Okay?
And what about the last girl?
Shlishim Rashishai.
About that one.
1 second. Then, no, he's not done. It's a very strange thing over here. V'chayzeres v'chokas b'shove. Then, they take all their shares and pull together. That means it ends up to be 65 point. I don't know why it says here 65.5%, and then you divide that 65% amongst all the daughters, and each girl will get 6.5.
Poor son, he don't get anything.
No, the son will get.
You get 45%.
He gets 45%.
35%.
35%.
At the bottom makes a chashim. Okay, listen. The first girl gets 10%, leaving 90. Second one takes a tenth of 90 remaining, which is 9%, leaving 81%. The third takes a tenth of 81, which is 8.1%. The next seven daughters take approximately the following. 7.3, 6.6, 5.9, 5.3, 4.8, 4.3, and 3.9. If you add all those numbers together, you get 65%. That's what the girls get, divided by 10. In other words, each girl gets 6.5%, and the boys get the 35%. You know, there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos that if you do Bikur Cholim, if you visit the sick, you take away a 60th of the sickness. So the Gemara asks, so bring 60 people.
Yeah.
Bring 60 people, and the guy will get cured. So the Gemara answers two answers. One is Ben Giloy, whatever, has to be the same mazel. Or another answer is no. The first guy takes 60th. The guy takes a 60th of what's left. 60th of what's left. 60th of what's left. So it takes a lot more people than 60 to make it happen.
That's not fair. That's very good.
But it's very interesting what Rebbe says over here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to add it all
together and then they divide
the
same
time.
For whom? Why hopeless?
By all
of
them. By the number of girls.
But when I was looking at this Gemara before, I added them all up. If you have, add up the 10% plus 8.1%, 7 point, you know, all those, it equals 65. I got 65.5. I don't know. Here it says 65.
It's rounding.
No, but then you divide it, so each girl gets, among the 10 daughters, each will receive approximately 6.5%. Okay? So, Rebbe says, I don't mean 10%, that each one gets 10% of the whole thing. You pull together each one's 10% of what's left from the whole 10%, and then and the boys will get the rest.
Add it up and then divide it, so it's equal.
Huh?
But they only give it to the sisters as they get married. The money's there. The dower.
Well, they were supported till they got married. Well,
oh, one minute. But the Gemara's going to ask a very simple question. The first girl got married. There's 10 girls. Yeah? The first girl gets married. How much is she taking?
10.
10%. Right? But that money's gone already. Right. So how can he, and then the second daughter gets married, that money's gone.
Well,
so how can you end up pulling the money all together?
Because
that's what they did.
There's money spent already. It's gone.
So let's pull it before they give it to
you. No, the Gemara answers all 10 daughters came to get married at the same time.
Oh.
Or, they're not getting married, but they're taking the money now together.
You go by
this hand. Only works if it's together.
Yeah.
Right? The Gemara asks, 1 minute, but the Gemara asks, each one takes separately, so how can you pull the money together? If they all come, okay, together, then they divide, like we said, the percent. And this brings a proof to the Rav Masna. The Amr Rav Masna says, if they all come to get married at the same time, they tell us Isir Echot. They take 1/10. That's what it is. So Gemara is only 1/10. There's 10 girls. We must say, what does it mean? They tell us Isir Echot. They each one take 10% together, meaning each one takes 10% of the 100, the 90, the 81, whatever it is. And then they pull it together and they take 10% of that money.
Okay. But if they don't come to Unkecha, but that's like hypothetical kids, never happens like that.
Why can't it happen like that?
They all come together to get married all at once.
I don't know what happened by B'nai Salafchad. Maybe they got married at once.
What's it, B'nai Salafchad? B'nai Salafchad got married all at once.
That was 5 daughters.
That was 5, but they didn't all get married at the same time. Oh, they
okay.
I mean, you could get betrothed at young ages, you know.
I mean, practically, I mean, you could have, you know, 20 years difference between them, not all getting married all in one shot. It's one after the next.
They divided it at one time.
Wholesale.
Huh? They divided it one time.
They divided it before they get married?
Before the first one got married. There were two opinions. That was one of the things.
No, so therefore, what the Gemara basically say, the whole, how did the Gemara answer this? The Gemara's question was, the son's not gonna get anything. What was the Gemara's original question? If there's 10 girls and each one gets 10%, the way the Gemara thought in the beginning. So then the state's done, and the kid gets nothing. Right? So, but the Gemara's saying now, even if the kids don't get married, but you do this in a formula, that the kid is left to 35%. That's if there's 10 girls, the more or less. The boys, and by the way, they divide the, if there's 5 boys, they're gonna divide the 35% between 5 of them.
You don't think it's that 35% to sustain the girls till they get married?
Yeah, but once they're going for the dowry, they're getting married.
If that's the first opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying then, they either get it or whatever. Okay, now it's all known. We'll leave it.
You have class next week?